Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezvic. Intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, come up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that conversation with him. With the NFL Combine right around the corner. Terry Crisp at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on a very memorable night last night in Bridgestone Arena. Look ahead to the Stadium Series game as well. Pred CEO and President Sean Henry joining us at 9 o'clock as well. So lots to come still here on the show. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Keith from Bowling Green on the text line says, Michelle is rocking out this week.
Today's Rolling Stones Day. What did we do yesterday? Fleetwood Mac. We had a little Led Zeppelin. And I'm sure you saw Joe's text in our group message, Robbie. He said, Rolling Stones Day? Okay, I've got suggestions.
Joe always has suggestions. Like, it really is amazing. His musical catalog.
He just hit his knee. Look at him. He just hit his knee or something. Joe, did you just hit your knee?
Struggling over there. It's good stuff. But yeah, the musical, lots of love for today. Now, I will say, I had people even last night at the Preds game come to me and be like, what was Michelle doing this morning with the Chelsea Dagger stuff? I was like, it's going to be all right, people. She's aware now. It's going to be good.
Listen,
everything's going to be okay.
I am now aware.
It's all going to be good.
And it'll never happen again. Listen, a mistake twice is a decision, and I will not make that like mistake that. Twice, okay?
I like that.
Okay. Nate, if you're listening, that's for you, bud, okay?
Yeah, a mistake twice is a decision. I like that. That's good stuff.
That's a good saying, and yes, I hit my knee, and it hurts.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Devin from Dover texting in says, who do y'all think will be the next Pred to have their number retired? I think Shea Weber should be strongly considered. This coming from Devin from Dover. I can tell you one that I think for sure is going to have his jersey retired when he's done, which will be a long time from now. But Roman Josi one day will have his jersey retired. So the next one that I am 100% sure about is Josi. The Weber thing to me is really interesting. As you said, you know, the reaction for him last night was awesome. Like, it was pretty loud when he got out there. You know, obviously he has played for a different organization now for a while, and unfortunately his playing career might be over based on some injuries that he sustained. We'll wait and see what happens on that and what that means for maybe long-term injury reserve or retirement or whatever happens on that front with Shea Weber. I agree. Like, I think his number should be retired, and I know not everybody agrees with that. I know there are differing opinions on that. I can make the argument to you that Shea Weber, while they were together, and I realize that Pekka played for many more years without Shea Weber here in Nashville, but while they were together, I can make the argument that Shea Weber was every bit as important for this team as Pekka Rinne was. Now, I know some people hear that and they just laugh. I know some people hear that and they say, yeah, he was. Shea Weber was a great, great player for this Predators team. Now, am I 100% convinced that he's going to have his jersey retired? No, I am not. Nobody has worn his number since, even though Philip Myers kind of tried when he got traded this offseason, switched to 55. I would not hate to see Shea Weber get his jersey retired. Now, somebody tweeted me last night and started talking about, like, David Legwand because of, you know, being the first pick in the history of the organization, and he had the goal record when he left, and, you know, all these different things. I would not spend 1 second considering David Legwand. Like, to me, if you're going to retire somebody's jersey, they have to be a great player. And I think Shea Weber qualifies as a great player. Now, there are some people that would say, yeah, Shea Weber was a great player. He was not good enough to get his jersey retired. And, you know, we can have debates back and forth on that. I do think Shea Weber should get some consideration. I'm not convinced that it's going to happen.
Agree. I think that's going to be, that's a really interesting discussion. This brings to mind waking up today. You know, it's always great when you wake up to a wonderful troll. So I just want to thank Paul Kaharsky, okay, who responded to my column sometime in the midnight hour, responded to my column, and I'm going to read it in my favorite Kaharsky voice. So he's making fun of the fact that I actually mentioned Shea Weber could be, Roman Josi will be, and of course Forsberg watches that thing last night, and you know, I'm sure at some point goes through his mind, sign here, and you're going to have a night like this. You know, how cool is it to have a career all with one team? And yes, I know he's with the Capitals at the beginning, but basically,
he never played your
entire
for
yeah. I mean, you know, your playing career is all with one team. So I wrote some of that. My Comedy Athletic and Kaharski's tweet to me is, not satisfied with night's events and Pekka's singularity, an excited Joe retires three more numbers in this column. It's so great, man. Just great trolling, Kaharski. So, hey, this is what we do. You talk about what might be next, right? And the Shea Weber, things, I don't know, man. I'm very much on the fence with that one. Very much on the fence with Shea Weber. Because this is where, as an outsider who wasn't here at the time, you know, like I think I'd have a different perspective. I mean, the only Shea Weber I covered was the last playoffs of his career here. When frankly, the last game, as you know, was bad. It was bad.
Real bad.
He had a terrible game, and Pekka destroyed a stick, and it was ugly. And it's game 7 in San Jose. But as you've made the point, like, you know, if a major award is one of the things, because some franchises and some college programs have, like, so I know Michigan State, for example, if you're not Big Ten Player of the Year, you're not going to get your jersey up there.
Yeah,
that's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty big standard. So if you have to have a major award, you know, that's what people would say. Not quite, Shay, just not quite. But as you've pointed out, probably should have a Norris on his shelf. I mean, I love Nick Lidstrom, but I think you're, yeah. I mean, you know, so, but should, you know, what is, I mean, what is that? I mean, it's tough. It's one of those things like, well, you can say shoulda, coulda, but some people win them and some people don't. Man, it's tough. Because their best two teams in franchise history, he was not a part of those teams.
Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely valid. And look, what I don't want to get into and what I can't stand when teams do is retiring jerseys left and right. Like, I don't want to be retiring, you know, 16 jerseys over the course of the next 20 years.
Like, you and Kaharski both.
Yeah, like, I think if you're retiring somebody's jersey, it needs to be a special, special player and a special impact on your franchise. Obviously, Pecorino qualifies for that. I do think you can make an argument Shea Weber qualifies for that. Now, is it as strong of a case as Pecorino to me? No, I don't think that it is. But again, and maybe I'm a little biased because I love me some Shea Weber, and I was around for a lot of his career here and watched how important he was, but I would give heavy consideration to it. Like, I think whenever Yossi's done at this point, I mean, he's won a Norris Trophy. He might win another one at some point. I mean, at some point, who knows? I mean, Yossi's going to be here for a long time. They could win a Stanley Cup somewhere down the line. Like, Yossi is going to get his jersey retired one day. I think most people would probably agree with that. The Shea Weber one, there are many differing opinions on, and I'm interested to see how that goes. I'm interested to see, like, how does the organization view that? I mean, obviously, he's still an active player, so they're not going to do it anytime soon. But, like, when the day comes where Shea Weber is officially done, because he might be done right now, but until he's officially done, you can't really do anything. When that day comes, I wonder how much consideration the organization would give that. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't know.
Well, look, here's another thing, and this has dominated the discussion about Pecorino this week. I mean, really, like, there's been a lot more talk about Pecorino, the human, Pecorino, the friend to children and you know, the fundraiser to fight pediatric cancer than really, like, hockey stuff.
Yeah.
It's a huge part. And look, he doesn't – that stuff – is still secondary. Like, you have to be great. You have to be great as a player. And he was. He's the greatest player in the franchise. But that aspect, because it is extraordinary. I mean, you know, like, I we're going to have Sean Henry on. Like, I asked him, like, he's been around all kinds of franchises, the Detroit Pistons and, you know, obviously the Lightning. He's been around the block for a long time, you know, and seen a lot of things and been a part of a lot of efforts, you know, to go out and do good. And, you know, he said, like, no, he has not seen anybody like Pecorino. Now, Shea Weber right there with him. Shea Weber Now they started the 365 fund together. That's where I think a lot of the people who would voice support for him would make that point. Now, I know that there's people out there who are like, okay, great, but that's not what this is. This is about performance on the court, on the field, on the ice, and the other stuff is great. But you know, you got to start with the certain level of performance and excellence. And I don't know if he's there, but if there's a tiebreaker in his favor, then maybe that would be it.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Wayne from Spring Hill. Wayne, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. I wanted to comment on Shea Weber. I understand everybody's thought process on that. Here's the thing. I even put it up last night on social media. With Pecorino, the biggest thing that sticks out to me is when he could leave, he didn't. There, I believe it was two times he could have gone into free agency, and he didn't. With Shea Weber, even though he was restricted, we had to match an offer sheet to keep him. So I think there's also a little bit of loyalty that Pekka showed over Shea Weber. And I think Yossi showed the same thing when he got a good team deal out of that also. So I think that is something I take into account personally is, are you going to be a team player, or do you go out and try to find – more money? Because in a world where we're trying to find money, Pekka did not go try to find money. He loved Nashville, and he still does. And I love Pekka. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call, Wayne. I mean, look, we can get back into the offer sheet thing. The offer sheet, there's not a person on the earth that wouldn't have signed that offer sheet. I mean, just, the offer sheet was specifically designed, you know, if you're Philadelphia, you're trying to basically, you know, price the Predators out of it, especially with how front-loaded the contract was. And to the Predators' credit, they matched it. But Shea Weber would have been an idiot not to sign that thing. I mean, that was so much money, and he's still reaping the rewards for it. So, you know, I don't really buy much of the loyalty aspect of it. By the way, like if we want to get into the loyalty conversation, like Shea Weber, along with Pecorine, drug this franchise along with him for a long period of time, and then right when they were on the doorstep of going to a Stanley Cup final and, you know, advancing, they send him packing. So the loyalty conversation, exactly, I don't really have a lot of time for.
Yeah, for sure. And by the way, it was the right move.
Yeah, I'm not blaming the Predators at all.
It worked out well.
I'm just saying, like, loyalty in pro sports, everybody talks about that with players. They don't really spend too much time talking about that from a team standpoint. And I think it was pretty obvious Weber was pissed when he left about what happened.
No question. Now, here's the thing, and I don't know. Like, I don't know all the situation with Pecorine. Like, did he just actively turn down money and say, no, I'm loyal, I'm staying with Nashville? But, you know, that's what, if you can get a player signed early, which is what they did. I think they signed him in November of 11, right?
Yep.
So, you know, you get him, you work on a deal, you like the deal, you like where you are, you get it done early. You don't even get to the point where you're out there. That can happen sometimes. So did Pecorine, what, that was like 7 for 7, right? That was a 7-year, $49 million deal.
Yep.
You know, did Pecorine cost himself a lot of money by doing that?
I don't think so.
I mean, you know, I think it seemed like it made sense, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like that. And sometimes there's just a more intense market. And for Shea Weber at that point, as great as Pecorine was at that point, one of the top goalies in the league, but Shea Weber was a coveted player at that point.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. Got more of your thoughts to get to on Twitter and on our social media pages and on our text line as well. We'll get to those coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Steve from Hendersonville texting in says, Shea Weber won 2 gold medals, Norris finalists multiple times, 365 Foundation, and most importantly, stayed during the ownership transition, which was a tumultuous time for the Preds. This coming from Steve in Hendersonville. Again, like, Joe, this is a pretty, like, hot-button topic. Like, some people believe that there is absolutely no way that Shea Weber should have his jersey retired, and some people say, why is this jersey not retired already? Like, which, again, he's an active player, so that's not going to happen, but it's a very divisive topic that I did not expect it to be.
That's what they should do. Just go ahead and retire now, even though he's still playing in Montreal. Just stick it to the Canadians. Well, it's a hot topic because, again, so obviously Pecorino should be the first one. He's the greatest player in franchise history. Roman Josi, at his current rate, I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah.
And Kaharski can complain all he wants, but Roman Josi is going to be up there.
I think it also helps that Josi has like an extremely weird number. That helps too. 59.
It's a cool number.
It's cool, but like how many players around the league wearing 59? Like you can retire that thing and not have to worry about somebody coming in and be like, man, really wanted 59.
Except there's unless it's like a Swiss kid, because they all probably try to wear 59 because they love Roman Josi. But yeah, I hear you. And Forsberg, same thing. At his rate, if he signs here, if he has, you tell me. I mean, it's a little bit different. You know, he's not as elite at his position as those two guys were. But if he has the same or similar level of production for another 4 or 5 years, is that not a slam dunk?
I don't know that I would call it a slam dunk, but I think it's certainly trending towards it happening. Like I agree with what you said there. Like to me, the difference is like Shea Weber for, I don't know, 5-6 year period when he was here was one of the top 2-3 defensemen in the league. Roman Josi is one of the top 2 or 3 defensemen in the league. You know, Peck has gone through a stretch where he's been a top 5 goalie for a long time. Like, I don't know if Forsberg is ever going to be a top 5 player. So I think there's a little bit of a difference there. But I do think, you know, if he keeps on this current track, he'll have an argument for sure. Like, I've got way more time for a Philip Forsberg type argument than I do Legwan. Like, I know a lot of people like the Legwan side of this thing. Like, Legwan was never a great player. Like, Legwan, you can make an argument based on where he was drafted. Was kind of disappointing. So I have no time for like a David Legwan discussion here.
Yeah. Well, so Johnny, our buddy Johnny DeSilveira, had a good idea, which some teams do, like the whole Ring of Honor idea, so that you can honor some really, really good players in a particular franchise, and then you reserve those hanging numbers for the real, real cream of the crop. So maybe that, I don't know, maybe that could be something.
No, it absolutely could be. And at Blitzfire777 on Twitter says, they need a Preds Hall of Fame for people like Weber. Reserve the number retirements for something truly special like Pekka or Josi playing their whole careers here. Look, I don't think you necessarily have to play your whole career in one spot to get your jersey retired. Like, you know, Peter Forsberg has his jersey retired in Colorado. He was in Philly. He was in Nashville. I mean, he's all over the place. Now, granted, he also won Stanley Cups, and I think that's a big separator in this, too. Like, you know, if Shea Weber had won a Stanley Cup here, I don't even think we're having a discussion. Like, his jersey would be retired. So, obviously, that's a big part of it, too, is what sort of postseason success. And to that point, I mean, look, they never got past the second round with Shea Weber here. As great as he was and as important as he was, they never got past the second round. Now, granted, they've been past the second round one time in their history of the franchise, but they never got past that here. So how much does that factor into the discussion as well? I think it should. Like, postseason success to me is a big deal when it comes to jersey retirement.
Without question. And that's where, like with Forsberg, I guess if Forsberg signs a deal and let's just say he's got like 5 seasons ahead where you average 30 goals, so you add 150 goals to his total. Okay. I mean, like at that point, it's him, and then there's a huge gap.
Yep.
You're the next best forward in franchise history, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So he's
got a great case. Yeah.
But what if they don't do anything in the postseason? If they just kind of have average teams in the next few years and, you know, I mean, I still think that's got to be part of, like, we just have to wait and see. Like, I think he would clinch it if he has some big postseasons and they have some big postseasons ahead.
Well,
you know, because, I mean, and look, he has been a part of the best that they've had, and he's played really well. So that's also a big thing in his favor that's different than Weber.
Agreed. And I also think, the standard changes as you move along, too. Like, as you grow as a franchise, the standard changes. Like, there's something about, you know, the first time you make a run, right? Like, I think the Predators one day will get back to a Stanley Cup final, and one day they're probably going to win a Stanley Cup at some point down the line. I don't know when it'll be. It could be in the next 5 years. It could be in the next 50 years. I don't know. But, like, at some point, they're probably going to win a Stanley Cup. And even when they do that, like, it probably won't be the exact same feeling in the city as the one in 2017 was. Like, there's something about getting there for the first time, right, and going on that first journey, which is great. But after you do it, I think the standard changes, right? Like, if you're Montreal back in the day, and this is a horrible example, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like, they're back when you're first coming into the franchise and first in the league, you know, 100 years ago, whenever that was, you know, the first time you go through and you win a cup, it's everything's a big deal, and you're retiring jerseys left and right. And then after you've been around for a while and there's been some, you know, some sustained success and you've got way more players in the history of your franchise to choose from, I think it becomes harder to get your jersey retired, if that makes sense, right? Like, you got to be that much more special as you move forward here. Like, the next Preds goalie to get their jersey retired, like, maybe it is Saros, I don't know. But, like, I feel like Saros is going to have to do more to get his jersey retired than Pecorino did, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if you have a really successful franchise, and a lot of great players and a lot of success like that, yeah, then you have to be more selective. You have to kind of raise the bar on what it would be. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's interesting on Saros. He has to do more than – like, if he wins a Vezina and he gets to a cup final and has similar numbers.
I don't think so.
You don't think that would do it?
I mean, it might. I don't think so. Like, I think if he wins a cup, then yeah. But, like, let's say he had the exact same career – as Pecorino in terms of, you know, maybe not the longevity because he did, you know, he's starting a little bit later, but let's say he has the exact same career. Are you putting him in there along with him? Like, how do you judge that? Because, again, Peck has already done it. Like, I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't prepared for the UC Saros number hanging debate today, but but I mean, I guess my instinct on that is if he has the same career, I think I'd put the 74 up there, but
just gonna have a,
I don't know.
It's a goaltending factory of retired jerseys.
But that's a hard career to have.
I know.
Like, that's a hell of a career.
I know. Paul texting in says the Weber murder slap shot is nearly as iconic as the Ovi slap shot from the circle. Anyone who thinks Weber doesn't deserve it should strap on the goalie gear and see what that Weber shot feels like. It's interesting. I was actually having a conversation with a former player about this last night of just how terrifying that was to stand in front of him. I don't know if that matters in terms of the jersey retirement part of it, but yeah, he could bring it. There's no doubt.
Well, if you're making the case for him, come with the receipts. Come with the list of all the, like, broken bones and,
yeah,
you know, the people blocking his slap shot.
Teammates suffered, broken bones.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Pretty vicious, that's for sure.
It's kind of amazing, like, Patrick Hornquist didn't die at any point standing in front of the net around that shot. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll look ahead to some big-time college basketball action this weekend, including Tennessee taking on Auburn. Tough one last night for Belmont as well. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. The 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series is coming to Nissan Stadium tomorrow. This outdoor game has the Preds taking on the Lightning and will also feature performances by Miranda Lambert and Dierks Bentley. It's going to be a party, and Preds fans, you're not going to want to miss it. Visit NHL.com/Stadium Series for more details and to purchase tickets. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezvic. Intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got Call Your Shot Friday coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll take your call shots on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, I want to get into the big game for the Vols coming up this weekend against Auburn here in just a few minutes, but we did have Casey Alexander on the other day, Belmont men's basketball coach. A big game last night against Murray State, and it did not go well for Belmont. 76-43, the final for Murray State. Number one, Murray State, 19th ranked team in the country. They are very, very good, But this is now two times this year where they have pretty much wiped the floor with Belmont. Your reaction to another dominant win last night for Murray State against the Bruins?
Yeah, you know, Gentry Estes was up there on my side over there on press row. And by the way, it was kind of like an old school press row last night, you know, kind of felt like old times. I didn't hear Martell's voice booming through the, but other than that, like it was pretty old school. But we were over there streaming the Belmont game. And then I finally was like, okay, I'm going to not bother watching any more of this because it was ugly. And I think Murray State is really, really good. And Murray State, boy, they might be, they might be like an 8-9 team. And could be interesting against a one, you know, in the second round if they get through that first game. But they, yeah, real good chance to, you know, to do that. They're really good, but it's stunning to me that Belmont would play that poorly in a big game like that. You're just not used to seeing it. And I don't know we talked to Casey, you know, like you said the other day, and one of the things he pointed out was just shooting. Like they just haven't shot well, And again, it was a terrible shooting night. So I think they have shooters, but I don't know that they have enough anyway, but especially if they're going to slump like this. I mean, that ended, you know, Steve Lehman laid out for us, okay, win that game. Maybe on Selection Sunday they could have a chance if they don't win the OVC. Now, I mean, they have to win the OVC, and you watch them try to match up with Murray State. It's hard for me to imagine. And that would be really sad, especially for Grayson Murphy and Nick Mazinski to end up playing in one NCAA tournament. Those are four NCAA tournament level players at Belmont. And right now they're trending toward having a total of one.
Yeah. I mean, look, the at-large bid is over for Belmont. So that's not happening at this point. You've got to win the tournament. And look, I mean, we've seen this happen before. I mean, it happened with Belmont last year where you get upset, but I don't really know if I see anyone taking down Murray State right now in the OVC. It's hard to imagine that happening.
Yep, except we know what they call March. Yeah, because look, there was no indication, there was no reason to think Belmont, you know, was going to go down. And what happened in that game really is that the opponent just went nuts.
Yep.
And they were red hot from outside, and they've got to find a way to catch fire next weekend.
Yep, Tennessee taking on Auburn coming up tomorrow at 3:00. Big game for the Vols at Thompson Bowling Arena. What stands out to you about this matchup, Joe? And if the Vols are going to pull off a victory tomorrow against Bruce Pearl and the Tigers, what has to go well for them? What's the key to the game in your mind?
Well, you can't turn it over. I mean, you know, Tennessee, some of its worst basketball this year is when it's just sloppy, lazy passes, and when you do that against Auburn, if you give them offense with your offense, you're toast. Like you can, they already are push pace, and they push the P, as Rick Barnes likes to say.
Yeah.
But push the pace. I don't even know what the heck that means. What does pushing P mean? Tell me.
I have no idea.
Michelle, young and hip. What does pushing P mean?
I have no clue. We're all looking at you like you had three
never,
heads.
You said Rick Barnes says that?
Oh, they had this big thing a couple weeks ago. And it was like Rick Barnes and Kelly Harper had like a commercial like pushing P.
I don't know.
I don't. It's some young thing that kids say. Let us know in the text line.
I don't think so, but okay.
Yeah.
Hello, fellow kids.
Hello, fellow young people. but you can't turn it over, and you've got to make them. They are going to push the ball anyway. So you know, you have to get – transition defense is huge. So, again, if you turn it over, you are screwing over your transition defense, but you got to shoot well. You got to play great. You got to play a great game like you did against Kentucky. I love look when you have a Josiah James on your team. I'm not saying he's going to shut down Jabari Smith, but a long, quick, athletic, tough, strong defender. That's a great matchup. Most teams can't match up with Jabari Smith that well. What big is going to go in there and you know, man up against Walker Kessler? That's one of my questions too, because you have to do that. I think Plavsic in this game, just physically, it just makes the most sense. He's got to play big, but then I'm looking at Jonas Adu, you know, make him run, make him work. You know, you can maybe protect the rim on him a little bit. This is going to be an awesome game.
Mark from Clarksville texting in says, pushing pressure. Not young, but my nephew knows this. Apparently
no, it means
what pushing P is.
It means keeping it real. We just looked it up, Nick and I over here. It's from a Gunna song.
Sure.
Okay, but okay, fine. So it means keeping it real. But what's the reference? Like what pushing P? Like what does that mean? What is P? I mean, P has to stand for something, right?
We may not want to know. I don't know.
Well, we may not want to know. That's true. But Rick Barnes is out there, pushing P, everybody. So, you know, if he's okay saying it, then I think I want the definition.
Paul texting in says, heavy drinking at the Preds game results in pushing P around 2 a.m. There you go.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I saw some people imbibing last night.
Yes, there was some of that. I'm interested to see if Kennedy Chandler keeps it going in this game. It feels like he's figured things out and has kind of started to settle into the player that we thought he was going to be from the jump this year. And we saw some flashes early, but I feel like the consistency level from Kennedy Chandler has been there more often as of late, and this is another huge opportunity for him tomorrow.
No question. I mean, he played, I think, his best game last game, and I think it's all starting to click for him. And if it's going to start clicking for him, that's going to be consistent. This team is dangerous. They really are. The Kennedy Chandler, KD Johnson matchup, which is what I'm expecting, boy, is that fun. And then you go ahead and bring Ziegler off the bench, and you got Tennessee's freshman going against KD Johnson and Wendell Green. Boy, that's double fun. I get to Nissan early tomorrow so I can get the phone. I mean, I don't think they're going to put on the TVs for us at Nissan before the Stadium Series game, are they?
Just tell them to put it on the Jumbotron.
You're doing a pregame show. Can I come in your booth and, like, watch it on the TV in there?
Yeah, man.
Okay, well, then I am too.
Come on in.
All right. There you go. So now it's a plan.
We'll just get it all in there.
Now it's an R&R show.
Yeah, it is. And Chase McCabe. Right. He'll be there too. The suit. Back
I guess Chase can, yeah, you got to let the suit in there, too.
He is our boss.
I just love how DDC is just now, they refer to him as the suit. It's no longer Chase. He used to be the constable. Now it's the suit.
He's earned it.
Yes.
Your management now, Chase. Now we talk behind your back.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jeremy texting in says, if Barnes is, quote, pushing P, hope he has an NIL deal with Depends, LOL. See, this could go really off the rails if we allow it to.
Wow. Yeah. But again, Rick Barnes is the one, like, he has, I would never have heard of this. What song did you say it was, Michelle?
It's from Gunna.
Gunna. Never heard of that.
G-U-N-N-A. He's a rapper, hip-hop. But basically, Nick and I were looking it up back here. It's push and pressure, like having money and like kind of showing off, I guess. That's what he means by keeping it real.
I was about to say, we now have like four definitions for this.
Oh, the song is called Push and Pee.
Okay.
So, there you go, Joe. I don't think I can play it coming back because it's probably not clean.
I doubt that.
But,
can you find it? I want to hear this. Is it a clean version? I probably hear this in my house when Brennan's taking a shower. But yeah, if you can play that, I'd like to hear the clean version.
When we come back, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. The Stadium Series this weekend, Vols taking on Auburn, everything on the table. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah, that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Lots going on this weekend. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
This file is getting so big, I'm having a hard time. I should delete stuff.
You probably should.
Yeah.
Some maintenance.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, we had a lot. Well, let's get through them real quick. Boy, okay. Gosh, how many shots did we call last week? I'm going to be a lot shorter this week because going through last week, it's going to take up the whole segment. Okay, I said the Super Bowl is going to happen in Nashville regardless of an indoor-outdoor stadium. Remember a week ago?
Yep.
We talked a lot about that. And I said, period. So that's a long-term one. I said, Preds will win one of the two games against Carolina or Florida. And
nailed
if you want more specifics, Luke Cunningham game-winning goal against the Panthers. I had the game right, but it was Granlund with the game-winning goal.
I mean, Luke Cunningham got a goal taken off the board in that game, too.
That is right. Tennessee women's team will lose by more than 25 at South Carolina. Sorry, but without Jordan Horson, it's not going to be pretty. I actually don't remember the final score. I don't think it was more than 25, though. But it was, you know, they got blown out. I mean, Jordan Horson, that just changes that team. Tennessee men will win at Arkansas. Josiah James game winner, no. Vanderbilt will beat Texas A&M on Saturday. They did, and get 15 points from Liam Robbins. They got 16 points. I mean, I think I got a little ding, ding, ding on that one.
Ding, ding, ding.
And wait a minute, why? Okay. Oh, okay. I wrote this out. It says Preds will lose Pecorine. I'm like, well, he's already retired. But what I meant, they will lose on Pecorine.
He's not going to play.
And by the way, so I what I meant is they'll lose on Pecorine tonight. And I was wrong. Robbie, you said Forsberg will sign this week. No, but you're on record for 8-for-68. So we'll see how that goes. UT loses Arkansas by 5 points. You were in the neighborhood. Yeah. You had the spirit of the thing. Preds will win at Carolina on a Jeannot goal in the third. No. Preds will house the Stars by 3 on Pecorine night. That did not happen.
Did not.
Let's go to Michelle. Rutgers will win the Big Ten. We'll see. Probably not after their loss this week to Michigan. But
probably not.
I liked it. Probably not. Team LeBron wins by 20. No, they did not,
no,
my friend.
Only
Arkansas by 15 or more over UT. No, it was close. It was like, I don't remember
10?
What the
– 7 or 8
yeah,
or 10.
I think it ended 7, up being 10. Yeah. Was it 10? Yeah. Aaron Rodgers will announce on Tuesday on McAfee that he's staying with the Packers. He did not. Alabama will have 0-3 against Kentucky. No.
That ended real quick.
You got another long-term shot. Memphis wins the West. Bulls win the East. But here's your final shot. The Preds will win a shootout on Pecorine night.
Nailed it.
Hey, I forgot about that one.
Pretty good.
When you make 19 pretty called shots good. Like we all did last week, it's easy to forget.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So, Michelle Knezvik, with that in mind, would you like to kick us off this week with Call Your Shot Friday?
I would love to. Okay, we're starting Preds. We got the Stadium Series tomorrow. The Preds will shut out Tampa, and Forsberg will have a hat trick.
Wow.
Whoa.
All this noise this week, it's getting to Forsberg. Little, he's going to have a hat trick.
Okay.
Okay. Jabari Smith hits a game-winning 3 in Knoxville to beat Tennessee tomorrow at 3.
Okay. You talking like buzzer?
Buzzer beater 3.
Okay.
Jabari Smith. Kellen Grady has 6 threes in, he's a Kentucky player if people don't know, in Arkansas.
We know.
Yeah, we know. I think you're just a Kentucky hater, Joe. Has 6
I'm
threes
not.
On Saturday.
Okay.
And Oscar Tshiebwe has 8 blocks.
8 blocks.
8 blocked shots. And Kentucky beats Arkansas.
There you go.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
That one's not a called shot.
There you go. Joe Rexroad, your called shots for the week.
Okay. I've got the Preds beating the Stars 4-3.
Well, they've already played the Stars.
Yeah, they already played the Stars, Joe.
Oh, the Lightning?
Yeah. How about the Lightning?
Keep going with that shot.
The Tampa Bay Stars.
Yes.
Yes. How about the Lightning on what should be a spectacular night at Nissan Stadium? And I've got Matt Duchene with the game-winning goal. The Tennessee Volunteers will beat Auburn by 12.
Wow. 12. That's good.
They will, in a game that they'll lead by 6-8, hit some free throws late. They will roll in this game.
And push and pee?
Push and pee. And Santiago Vescovi is going to have 25 points.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Transition threes. He's going to hit a lot of threes. I'm going to keep it to 2. I got 2.
Okay. I like
it. We got to get moving.
Those are good ones. All right, I'll go with this. Roman Josi finishes with more points than Victor Hedman in the Stadium Series game. It's a heck of a defenseman matchup. I know they don't technically, I guess, play against each other specifically, but I think Roman Josi ends up with more points than Victor Hedman. Zakai Ziegler, 15 points against Auburn. On the nose, 15 points against Auburn in this game. Aaron Rodgers announces he's coming back to the Packers over the course of the next week. The final score of the stadium series will be 3-2. We'll get to my prediction on who that is later in Weekend Winners, but the final score of the stadium series will be 3-2. And finally, Joe Rexroad, before the calendar year 2022 is out, will participate in the Panchakarma Cleanse alongside
Let's
Aaron Rodgers.
Go.
The Panchakarma Cleanse, Joe Rexroad.
You know, I would do some of it, man. I can't do all five legs. I've read enough on that. I can't do all five legs. Hey, real quick, just to go back to our previous session real fast, because Caroline Fenton has also weighed in on Pushing P. She said it's something cool and hip, like Soros was Pushing P last night. Yeah. If you're wearing a cool outfit, you're Pushing P.
Like Joe Burrow, his glasses.
If you just got a promotion, you're Pushing P.
No.
Okay, so I get what it means. I still want to know what the P is, though.
I don't know.
But anyway, we got two more hours to figure that out.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Mark from Clarksville texting in says, Arkansas beats Kentucky. What do you think about that one? Uh-oh.
I don't like that
That's
one.
That's a shot.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee beats Auburn.
Shot. Is it a shot, though? Because I don't think the backcourt's going to play. Ty Washington or Sophia Wheeler.
I mean, it's a shot.
I think it's a shot.
Vescovy hits a three in the last 10 seconds to win the game for Tennessee. Michigan wins out the rest of the regular season and beats Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament. Finally, the Nashville Predators will win the stadium series 4-3 with Roman Josi scoring the game-winning goal. Mark always brings it with the shots. We like that.
Good shots.
Nate on the text line says, called shot. MTSU destroys Western Kentucky by 20-plus on Saturday night, and the Preds remember the Winter Classic debacle in 2020, so they beat the Lightning by 2-plus goals with Corey Perry getting ejected again. And I would hope, if you're a Predators fan, you should probably hope that Corey Perry doesn't get ejected, because that would mean that he probably does something really bad to one of your players.
That's true.
But
yeah.
I'm not
usually earns those.
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to put it past Corey Perry getting ejected. I think that that would be something. Chad from Chattanooga texting in says, Tanner Jeannot welcomes Corey Perry to Nashville in the first 2 minutes of the first period. We think Corey Perry tangles with Tanner Jeannot? Are we talking like open ice hit? What are we talking about?
I think he will try to avoid Tanner Jeannot, but that's actually a good call. Like, Tanner Jeannot is going to know where Corey Perry is. I'm sure he'd love to. I'm sure he'd love to cross paths with him Saturday night.
I will say this, like, you know, the idea, you know, Corey Perry back in the day, and he still does a little bit now. He'll mess with the goalie in front of the net, or there'll be a cheap shot after the play. I will say this Predators team much more equipped to handle stuff like that now than they were when they were in the Winter Classic a couple of years ago. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, I mean, it's just 2 years later, and very different in that regard. They had gone through a few years of you could take runs at their guys and probably be okay.
Austin Watson being there. That's about it.
Right.
Kyle on the text line says, called shot is this weekend will be a blast and drinks will be consumed. Drink responsibly out there. It's going to be a fun weekend. Let's have it be a safe
Use
weekend
Uber,
as well.
Use Uber or Lyft or call a friend.
Yeah. But no, it's going to be a fun weekend. I'm interested to see. We'll get more into this later with you know, Crispy coming up as well, but like, I wonder how many Tampa fans have made it up here. Like, I'd imagine there's a good number. Like, you know, there's a good number of Preds fans in Dallas. I imagine with Tampa not ever having done this before, there'll be a pretty good Tampa Bay contingent here.
I hope so.
I think it adds to the atmosphere, like, especially in an outdoor game. I think it adds to the atmosphere when you have a pretty good number of both sides.
Well, Preds fans, get ready, because my best friend flew in last night and her flight from Atlanta, she said everybody had Tampa gear on the flight last night from Atlanta to here, and the airport was packed, and it was like 11:45 at night.
Yeah,
I can report that today at 6 in Peabody, I'm going to be with Joe Smith, who covers the Lightning for us. And I don't know if I'm going to do anything other than get him like appetizers, but he's talking to subscribers, and it is sold out quickly. Like, the Lightning fans are all over talking to Joe Smith.
Joe Smith, big karaoke guy too. So
Joe Square,
you might need to get that rolling. Yeah,
I did not know this.
You might need to get that rolling.
What song?
I don't know, but they're may or may not have been a video at a morning skate a few years ago that I watched alongside him and John Cooper, head coach of the Lightning, and John Cooper loved it. It was great stuff. Nice. I believe Joe was singing. John Cooper was at this establishment, and Joe did not know he was there. And there was a video.
So John Cooper took the video?
That is correct.
Oh, man. Okay.
That's incredible. So this is
some good
up,
fodder.
Joe.
Absolutely. Now I can contribute today by bringing that up.
That's right. This has been Call Your Shot Friday. We'll continue to take your call shots on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.